Amy Goodman, host of Democracy Now! For more than 15 years, CJSF 90.1 FM has been bringing Democracy Now! To the greater Vancouver area every weekday at 11 a.m. From New York, this is Democracy Now!
I was sitting, preparing some food for the children. People came and said that we have to evacuate the school. We took our things and put them outside. Minutes later, they started to strike the school.
Israeli forces destroyed dozens of residential buildings as well as schools over the weekend as Israel moves to seize Gaza City, where an estimated 1 million Palestinians are sheltering. We'll go to Gaza for the latest. Then, the martyrdom of Charlie Kirk. That's the headline of the latest piece by Pulitzer Prize-winning journalist Chris Hedges. We'll speak with him about Kirk's assassination and the fallout in the wake of his murder as Trump intensifies his attacks on the left.
The problem we have is on the left. And when you look at the agitators, you look at the scum that speaks so badly of our country, the American flag burnings all over the place, that's the left, that's not the right.
Then when universities become informants, a practice from the McCarthy era makes an ugly return. That's the headline of a recent piece by University of California, Berkeley professor Judith Butler.
I am one of 160 community members at the University of California whose names are included in files alleging anti-Semitism that were sent to the Department of Education's Office for Civil Rights. We've never seen the files. We've never had a chance to rebut the allegation. This is an act of cowardice and capitulation.
All that and more coming up. Welcome to Democracy Now!, democracynow.org, The War and Peace Report. I'm Amy Goodman. Israel continuing its campaign to erase Gaza City by systematically bombing residential high-rise buildings, schools, homes, and tent encampments. Targets struck on Sunday included the Islamic University and the Roya Tower, which house media and UN offices. Israeli officials claim 250,000 Palestinians have left Gaza City in recent days, but residents of the city say there's no safe place to go as Israel moves to displace the city's entire population.
I wish someone would look at us, the Palestinian people, in a human way. In European countries, there are animal rights, taking care of the animals and the birds. No one is looking after us, the people of Gaza. They are not looking for these children. Our children either die from hunger or strikes, or either they are displaced from the north to the south in harsh conditions. We are approaching winter in tents. Tents don't protect us. In the summer, during the heat, in the winter, nothing.
Israel killed at least 53 Palestinians Sunday, another 25 so far today, including six-year-old twins. Meanwhile, the number of Palestinians who've starved to death has reached 422. We'll go to Gaza after headlines. On the diplomatic front, Arab leaders are holding an emergency meeting in Qatar today to discuss Israel's deadly strike last week targeting Hamas leaders in Doha. Ahead of the meeting, Qatari Prime Minister Sheikh Mohammed bin Abdulrahman bin Jassim Al Thani condemned what he called Israel's barbaric attack.
This Israeli aggression will not lead to anything but aborting de-escalating efforts and confirm the Israeli government's intentions to reject peaceful paths to resolving the Palestinian issue and to continue defying international will and the UN Charter as evidenced by repeated statements by Israeli officials regarding the annexation of Palestinian territories and the illusions of a greater Israel. Israeli's barbaric and demagogic practices will not deter us from continuing our sincere efforts with the Arab Republic of Egypt and the United States to stop this unjust war.
Al Thani's comments came a day after he had dinner with President Trump in New York. Meanwhile, U.S. Secretary of State Marco Rubio is in Israel for a meeting with Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu. Rubio will then travel to Doha to meet with Gulf leaders. In the occupied West Bank, the Israeli army raided the home of the Palestinian activist and filmmaker Baz Aladra, who won an Oscar for the documentary No Other Land. Baz Aladra said, quote, "The police, the army came when the settlers were attacking us. They did not stop them. One of the settlers chased one of the solidarity activists, and he beat her on the ground. The soldiers were watching, didn't do anything," Aladra said. The film No Other Land documented efforts by settlers to forcibly displace Aladra's community in the area known as Masafayata. In Utah, the 22-year-old man accused of assassinating the right-wing activist Charlie Kirk is scheduled to appear in court on Tuesday. Tyler Robinson was detained Thursday night after he reportedly confessed to his father, who then reached out to a youth pastor who called the U.S. Marshals. Robinson is reportedly not cooperating with investigators and is being held under special watch. Charlie Kirk was fatally shot while speaking at a campus event at Utah Valley University Wednesday. Authorities are still trying to determine a motive in the killing. Tyler Robinson grew up in a deeply Republican family. Authorities say Robinson engraved messages into bullet casings with references to various online and video game memes. Utah's Republican Governor Spencer Cox has claimed Robinson had leftist ideology but did not share any evidence. There's also been speculation Robinson may have been influenced by a far-right movement known as Groypers, which is tied to the white nationalist Nick Fuentes. Governor Cox said Tyler Robinson's roommate has been cooperating with investigators. Cox also said Robinson was in a romantic relationship with his roommate, who is transitioning from male to female. This is Governor Cox speaking Friday.
"I hear all the time that words are violence. Words are not violence. Violence is violence. And there is one person responsible for what happened here. And that person is now in custody and will be charged soon and will be held accountable."
Well, Utah Governor Spencer Cox said there's one person responsible for Charlie Kirk's killing. President Trump sent a very different message when he appeared on Fox News Friday morning.
How do we fix this country? How do we come back together?
I'll tell you something that's going to get me in trouble, but I couldn't care less. The radicals on the right oftentimes are radical because they don't want to see crime. They don't want to see crime. The radicals on the left are the problem, and they're vicious, and they're horrible, and they're politically savvy.
Trump also called for Democratic donor George Soros to be jailed. Trump's top advisor, Stephen Miller, has also threatened to target and dismantle progressive organizations after Kirk's killing. We'll have more on this story later in the broadcast. More than 100,000 anti-immigrant protesters marched through the streets of central London, clashing with police, injuring at least 26 officers in one of Britain's largest far-right demonstrations in its history. The march was organized by the anti-immigrant activist Tommy Robinson and featured far-right politicians from Germany and France as speakers. Elon Musk also spoke virtually to the crowd, saying, quote, "We must have revolutionary government change," unquote. Several speakers paid tribute to Charlie Kirk. At the rally, the Stand Up to Racism campaign organized a counter-protest, attracting 5,000 people. A teacher at the counter-protest speaking to Reuters said, quote, "The idea of hate is dividing us, and I think the more that we welcome people, the stronger we are as a country," unquote. Elon Musk is also in the news today after his satellite internet service Starlink suffered a global outage today, impacting tens of thousands around the world, including the Ukrainian military. On Sunday, Ukrainian drones struck one of Russia's largest oil refineries, the Kirishi refinery in Russia's Leningrad region, causing a fire. It comes as Ukraine has been attacking Russian oil infrastructure for weeks. Meanwhile, Romania says a Russian drone entered its airspace Saturday. The Romanian Defense Ministry issued a statement saying that it, quote, "strongly condemns the irresponsible actions of the Russian Federation," unquote. Last week, Russian drones also entered Poland's airspace before NATO jets shot them down. The International Federation of Journalists has condemned Israel for killing at least 9 Yemeni journalists in a strike last week targeting the offices of a newspaper controlled by the Houthi government in Sana'a. Some reports say as many as 25 journalists were killed in the strike. IFJ General Secretary Anthony Belanger said, quote, "Targeting journalists is a grave violation of international law and an attack on the public's right to know," unquote. On Sunday, U.S. Deputy Secretary of State Christopher Landau expressed regret over the recent ICE raid that detained 300 South Korean workers at a Hyundai battery plant in Georgia. Landau met with Korean First Vice Foreign Minister Park Yoon-ju in Seoul and discussed a new visa category for Korean professionals. That's according to the South Korean Foreign Ministry. On Friday, the South Korean workers landed in Seoul to cheering crowds at the airport a week after being chained and handcuffed by ICE. In a post on social media, President Trump wrote, quote, "I don't want to frighten off or disincentivize investment," he said. On Friday, Sushila Karki, Nepal's former chief justice, was sworn into office as interim prime minister after more than 70 people were killed during anti-corruption protests led by the country's Gen Z movement. The protests were sparked earlier this month by a social media ban and escalated into attacks on politicians' homes. The parliament was also set on fire. Karki becomes Nepal's first female prime minister.
We are here to serve the country, and we will only stay here for 6 months, not more than that. After completing all the tasks and responsibilities, we will be free, and we will hand it over to the new ministers and the parliament. We have made this promise.
The Venezuelan government has accused the U.S. Navy of raiding a fishing boat in Venezuelan waters. Personnel from a U.S. warship reportedly boarded the boat and detained 9 fishermen for 8 hours. This comes just 2 weeks after the U.S. blew up a boat off the coast of Venezuela, killing 11 people who the U.S. claimed were drug smugglers. On Saturday, Venezuelan Foreign Minister Ivan Gil decried the U.S. action.
The Venezuelan government demands the United States immediately ceases these actions that put the security and peace in the Caribbean at risk.
In a midnight post on social media, President Trump vowed to call a national emergency and federalize Washington, D.C., after the district's mayor, Muriel Bowser, said D.C. local police would not cooperate with ICE. Last month, Trump deployed over 2,000 National Guard troops in D.C., prompting mass demonstrations by residents. It comes as President Trump told Fox News Friday he'll deploy the National Guard to Memphis, Tennessee, saying, quote, "Memphis is deeply troubled." Speaking to CNN, the mayor of Memphis, Paul Young, said he's not happy with the decision. In other immigration news, ICE shot and killed a man in the Chicago suburbs who authorities say was resisting arrest on Friday during a traffic stop. 38-year-old Silverio Villegas Gonzalez allegedly dragged an ICE agent with his car, who later fired his weapon at the man. In a statement, the Illinois Coalition for Immigrant and Refugee Rights said, quote, "This killing is the latest in a mounting pile of evidence that Trump's mass deportation machine is completely out of control," unquote. Protesters denounced ICE's killing of Villegas Gonzalez.
"This is not fair for our hardworking people to come out here to this country to earn a living. And I just want to say God bless all. Hopefully it gets best wishes for everybody. Hopefully everything gets better situations. But we just need to tell ICE, stop scaring our people."
Meanwhile, ICE agents in Chicago reportedly abducted William Jimenez on Friday. Jimenez is a day laborer who's suing off-duty Chicago police officers working as security for Home Depot for abusing migrant day laborers. Jimenez's lawyer, Kevin Herrera, claims he was taken into ICE custody in retaliation for his lawsuit, saying Jimenez is, quote, again being profiled not only for being a Spanish-speaking person in another country, but for being someone who exposed racism and abuse of power in the United States, unquote. Homeless advocates are denouncing Fox News host Brian Kilmeade, who openly called for mentally ill, unhoused people to be executed. Kilmeade made the comment during an episode of Fox and Friends.
Or involuntary lethal injection or something. Just kill him.
On Sunday, Kilmeade apologized on air for making what he called, quote, extremely callous remark, unquote. New York Governor Kathy Hochul has endorsed Sohrab Mamdani for mayor of New York City. Mamdani won the Democratic primary in June, but many establishment Democrats have yet to endorse him. Mamdani identifies as a Democratic socialist. Governor Hochul wrote online on Sunday, quote, New York City deserves a mayor who will stand up to Donald Trump and make life more affordable for New Yorkers. That's Sohrab Mamdani, Hochul wrote. A major bike race in Spain was forced to prematurely end on Sunday when a massive pro-Palestinian protest in Madrid interrupted the final stage of the Spanish Vuelta. As many as 100,000 took part in Sunday's demonstration, which was organized in part to protest the inclusion of an Israeli team in the race. Meanwhile, in New Zealand, as many as 50,000 people took part in the pro-Palestine March for Humanity rally in Auckland on Saturday. Protest organizers called on the New Zealand government to impose sanctions on Israel. And many of television's biggest stars displayed signs of support for Palestinians on Sunday at the Emmy Awards ceremony. Several actors wore red Artists for Ceasefire pins, including White Lotus stars Amy Lou Wall and Natasha Rothwell, Ruth Negga of Presumed Innocent, and Chris Perfetti from Abbott Elementary. The Spanish actor Javier Bardem wore a keffiyeh and said on the red carpet, he, quote, cannot work with someone who justifies or supports the genocide, unquote. Hannah Einbinder, who won an Emmy for her role, criticized ICE and called for a free Palestine during her acceptance speech.
I just want to say, finally, go Birds, ICE, and free Palestine.
That's the hack star. Other Emmy winners included Stephen Colbert, whose late-night program was recently canceled by CBS. His show won for Best Talk Series for the first time. And those are some of the headlines. This is Democracy Now!, democracynow.org, The War and Peace Report. I'm Amy Goodman. Israel's intensifying its campaign to seize Gaza City and forcibly displace its residents. An estimated 1 million people are believed to be sheltering there. Over the weekend, Israeli forces bombed more than 30 residential buildings, as well as several schools and tent encampments.
I was sitting, preparing some food for the children. People came and said that we have to evacuate the school. We took our things and put them outside. Minutes later, they started to strike the school. We only could get what we were wearing. I'm sitting in a tent, nothing left for my children. I have no pillow, no blanket, nothing. Should I sleep in the streets with my children? Where should I go?
Targets struck on Sunday included the Islamic University and the Roya Tower, which housed media and UN offices. Israeli officials claim a quarter of a million Palestinians have left Gaza City in recent days, but residents of the city say there's no safe place to go.
My home, my safety, my life, my whole life has been spent in this house. It's the safety of my children. Now I can no longer feel safe for myself or my home. I don't know where to go. I'm standing here with nowhere to go. I have no place in the south, no place in Gaza. I have found nowhere. Where do we go? Someone please tell us where to go. There is no safe place. Everywhere they say is safe, but the bombing continues and death is everywhere.
Israel killed at least 53 Palestinians Sunday and another 25 so far today, including six-year-old twins. Meanwhile, the number of Palestinians who've starved to death has reached 422. Meanwhile, U.S. Secretary of State Marco Rubio is in Jerusalem to meet with Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu. The U.S. continues to stand by Israel, despite calling Israel's targeted military strike on Qatar, targeting Hamas negotiators last week. The U.S. has called it unhelpful. Five lower-ranking members of Hamas died in the attack in Qatar's capital, Doha. A Qatari security staffer was also killed. We go now to Khan Yunis in southern Gaza, where we're joined by Dr. Mohammed Sakhar. He's director of nursing at Nasser Hospital. Thank you so much for joining us, doctor. If you can describe what's happening in right near Nasser Medical Complex, if you can describe what's happening with the displacement of the population from Gaza City.
Yeah. Hi. Thanks for having me on your channel. For the current situation now inside Nasser Medical Complex, the current situation really is very catastrophic. Now, for medical staff, as you know, very little amount of food are allowed to enter Gaza City. So most of the medical staff here work in a very bad condition. Most of them are really hungry, and the amount of food is not enough. So all of this staff suffering from moderate or mild malnutrition. For, as you know, it has been a long time, for more than 20 months, working continuously. We are physically really tired and exhausted. And by the way, we can't tolerate any more burden on us. As you know, we are psychologically unstable because we see execution of civilians on a daily basis. Every day we receive in Nasser Medical Complex nearly 100 civilians murdered, whether by tanks or gunshots or snipers. And for the medical staff themselves as well, we are unsafe and we are targeted sometimes even inside the hospital. Last month, the Israeli Air Forces attacked the hospital and killed four of our medical staff. One was a doctor and the other a nurse and two administrative staff inside the complex. So as I have just said, the situation we are working in is very catastrophic, and Israel doesn't respect the international law and regulations, especially when they target us and kill us, even inside the hospital. Let me tell you about the seating capacity of Nasser Medical Complex. Nasser Medical Complex was designed to receive and deal with 350 patients only. Now, the current patients inside the complex is 1,000 patients. So we have no beds. We have to put patients on the ground, no supplies, no instruments, and the things will go worse when the Israeli evacuation orders the Gaza City to come here to Khan Yunis concentration camp. So it will be more and more tragic to deal with such high number of civilians and populations. Actually, let me say something important the world must know. We are here deprived from everything, every human rights. For example, let me say that I don't have the right now to buy a shoes. You know, there are no shoes in the city, for example. So for me, let me say, for me, I have just one shoes, sharing it with five of my sons. So if I have now, I have maybe $1,000, but I can't find just one single shoes in the whole city to wear. So I have, sometimes at night, I have to walk barefoot without shoes. Something is happening here, must stop. This genocide must stop. We are deprived from every single human rights. Sister, let me just explain another thing important here. No goes inside the hospital. Sometimes we stop the service of a dressing because there is no medical goals to change dressing for patients. That led to spread of infection among many of our patients. Sometimes there are no thermometers, so we try to guess the temperature of patients by palpation and touching the skin of patients in order to guess the temperature of patients. At the time, we don't have CTG machines for fetuses to estimate and measure their heartbeats. Other times, no CBC kits in order to continue investigations, lab investigations. The things now inside Gaza Strip and especially in Nasser Medical Complex is really catastrophic and violate every single human rights. And this is really against international laws and regulations. Yeah.
Dr. Mohammed Sakhar, you are the director of nursing at the Nasser Medical Complex. The Al Jazeera is reporting the Palestinian Health Ministry says at least three people died in the last 24 hours from hunger, bringing the total number of people dead due to starvation to 425, including 125 children. And we also have the reports Israeli forces killed five people seeking food in southern Gaza. At least five Palestinians waiting for food were killed by gunfire south of Khan Yunis. What does it mean to treat people who are dying of starvation who have been bombed? I mean, the effect of malnutrition and hunger on the body.
Yeah. As you know, to explain it more for your audience to understand what is happening here, first, let's start with the distribution points, food distribution points. The Israeli army threw the cartons of food on the ground and asking the people to come. When they take the cartons of food, they start shooting at them. That's why on a daily basis, we receive 100 or 200 wounded people, sometimes 300 and 400 from that distribution sites. When people come to our emergency department, we have two real crises. The first is the bullets which penetrated their bodies. The second is that the people are really physically deteriorated, you know, They are physically unfit. They are very, very, very malnourished. So you just see people, skin on bones, you know. These people were seeking for just food to feed themselves and their children. And when they attack by missiles, tanks, missiles, or snipers, bullets, they come here to our emergency department. So we have to deal with two challenges. The first is the injury, and the second is the severe malnutrition they are suffering from. And by the way, maybe you don't have a comprehensive view of what is happening here in Gaza Strip. Now we have three main concentration camps: Khan Yunis concentration camp, and the Middle concentration camp, and Gaza concentration camp. I'm from Khan Yunis concentration camp. This camp is nearly 25 kilometers square, 25 only. The number of population inside this camp is more than 1 million people, more than 1 million people moving only in 25 kilometers. And there is red line. If you cross this line, you will be directly by tanks and military aircrafts. So imagine 1 million or more than 1 million people in just 25 kilometers suffering from severe malnutrition, lack of good healthcare system, spread of infection, a lot of things. So now, on Nasser Medical Complex, really we are in a critical stage now, because We don't know how to focus on wounded, targeted people, malnourished populations, spread of infections. By the way, people here don't find anything to eat. If they find, they find some very minimum amount of food in a very high cost. Really, these concentration camps kill people.